It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
Hi, folks. I'm joined by former MP Andrew Bridgen. He was a Conservative MP until he decided during the COVID pandemic to do the right thing at the right time. And of course, they kicked him out for it. And ever since then, Andrew has been essentially a warrior for the, how to describe us? I guess the nativist right, the sort of the truth-telling right, the right that's actually tired of compromise at this point and actually wants to see some tangible gains. You've been basically at the front line of every issue that's been something we've been championing since then. And as I understand it, you've spent a few days up in Makerfield canvassing for Restore and Rupert Lowe.
I spent a day up in Makerfield on Saturday, and I was very impressed. The for a new party to hit the ground like that in such numbers and to be able to organise those numbers so it was actually done productively. So, yeah, I was out and had out on the streets knocking on doors with people who'd done it before and people who'd never done it before. And it was very similar to being out. I did 3 days in Great Yarmouth and really enjoyed that as well. I'm a bit of an old war horse, you see. So as soon as the first waving of the flags and the whiff of grape shot, and I've got to be there.
No, I totally understand. I really do. Okay. So tell us first about the campaign in Great Yarmouth. What was that like for you when you were there?
It was like the best of days. The optimism, the enthusiasm, something that's been sadly missing in UK politics for a very long time. And it's Rupert's backyard. Obviously, you've got to start there because most of them do know about Rupert Lowe, their MP. But again, it was getting over a lot of apathy because, as we know, we moan about low turnouts at general elections, but I mean the turnouts at local elections have been appalling. Getting 30% was seen as good.
Yeah.
It's barely any sort of democratic ballot. So despite the fact that you on paper, you're probably talking to two-thirds of the people you're talking to aren't going to bother to vote anyway, the campaign was amazing. I mean, it's totally one-sided. There was nobody else out there at all. We wiped every other party off the map. I think they just kept away.
Just for anyone who doesn't know what the numbers were, the average vote share for Great Yarmouth First, which is Rupert Lowe's local party there, was 46%. Which was ahead of every other party, including Reform and the Conservatives and Labour and whoever else. And if you'd halved the Restore Britain vote share, they still would have won every single ward. So it was an unbelievable victory.
Well, seeing that was what was hoped for, and seeing the number of volunteers that turned out, that was what delivered. I mean, it was just proving the method. The method works. It worked in Great Yarmouth to great effect. And there were some good candidates. And I had a conversation a week last Saturday, well, 2 weeks ago with Rupert. And I did say, people are saying it's too soon for a by-election and some people saying, you're going to do this or do that. And I said, you've just got to stand. Because you are a party, you're a player in the game now. And, those who fight and run away only live to run away another day. Yeah. And if you don't compete in this by-election, the same pressure will come on at the next by-election and you never break through. And in fact, Restore offering is so radically different to every other party. You're not taking anybody else's votes. We're just taking policy to places other people don't want to go.
And even if we do take other people's votes, you don't own those votes. You aren't entitled to them. There's a weird sort of socialism of the electorate that goes on in British politics. Like, you can't split the vote here. As Jacob Rees-Mogg says, oh, there's a Tory vote, there's a reform vote. It's like, no, no, 3 years ago, there wasn't a reform vote. These things are all new, and there will, and there is a restore vote coming forward now.
It's sort of like, you know, in the Tory party at times, you know, they'd say that our voters are voting for someone else. But I mean, I did point out to them that the moment they've voted for someone else, they're somebody else's voters, aren't
they? They're not your
voters. They're not our voters anymore. Yeah. You know, and if they voted for them twice, I mean, you really can't call them our voters anymore.
No.
It's time to go and re-canvass and find out who they are voting for. And yeah, it's, I think there's the demographics of Makerfield are very suitable, conducive to a good performance from Restore. It should be natural hunting ground. The 97% white British, the 66% Leave voters. I mean, that should be a problem for people like Andy Burnham, shouldn't it, and the Labour Party.
Well, I mean, weirdly, it was Labour that made returning to the EU a politically actionable topic.
But not votable, apparently, by the people. I mean, they've asked the people once. They said they wanted to leave.
Yeah.
In Makerfield, two-thirds of them said they wanted to leave. So we can't ask them again. We just go back in.
Yeah, yeah. But this is always the way with the European Union and its allies.
And as you've already pointed out, I mean, almost 49% of the electorate were not impressed enough by any of the existing parties to be bothered to go to the polling station and cast a vote. So this is very fertile territory.
Yeah, I thought that as well. Because, I mean, Great Yarmouth actually has relatively similar demographics to Makerfield when you actually look at the actual makeup of who is actually there. And you realise, well, what was the problem with Great Yarmouth? Well, it's a place in Britain that felt like it had been left behind by the modernization of the country and the diversification of the country. And the fact that, as you said, half of the electorate just isn't even voting anymore. They're just not bothering. Even at general elections, they're just not bothering. And these are the people that Rupert turned out en masse to win this overwhelming victory.
Well, the most encouraging thing about the Great Yarmouth local election results was the turnout.
Mm.
And clearly, people who'd given up on politics had decided to come out and not even just to vote for a general election or an MP. They were voting for local elections.
And just
this is really good.
Just for anyone who doesn't know as well, in a general election, for example, the average turnout in the last general election was 59%, which is lower than normal. Normally, it's between sort of 65 to 70%, which is fine. You know, that gives the winning parties a mandate, right? But when you're ticking down towards half of people not voting, that casts a pall across the very nature of the democratic system itself. And then when you drill down to local elections, as you said, 30% is a good turnout in a local election. Now, in Great Yarmouth, the turnout was somewhere between 40 and 50%.
That's amazing for a local election.
Almost unheard of. I don't think
Rupert's party effectively got more votes at the local elections than Rupert got at the general election, and he won.
It's just unthinkable. It's just an unthinkable thing.
Turnout is really important. I led the Leave campaign for the East Midlands a decade ago.
I know, it's been a while.
That's unbelievable. And that was all about getting out the people who don't normally vote, but would vote on that issue for a fundamental change. People who wouldn't come out for the status quo, but would come out for something different. And I knew we'd won before I saw the results. Do you know what the turnout was in my own seat of North West Leicestershire? 79.8%.
Wow.
And I knew they weren't coming out to stay in the EU.
Yeah, yeah. But what I loved about the Brexit referendum, I was a hardcore Leave voter, obviously. What I loved about it, I was just some no-name YouTuber at the time. We have a chance to stick it in their eye at the moment. This is our chance. Just stick it to them. We're not happy with the way the country's going. And we know what you want on this. We know that you're very committed. No, we have to remain in the EU. Okay, well, we're not committed to that. And we know you're going to howl if we make you do this. And of course,
they didn't really let us leave. I mean,
no, of course not.
We had the bad bits of leave and none of the good bits. The establishment never wanted the oiks to exert their preference. And
they punished us for it.
And they punished us for it.
And that's fine because we're being given another clear-cut choice again.
Put it right.
Exactly. You know, even Reform are being accepted into the fold. You can see the positive media coverage they're getting. So they're being accepted by the establishment. Yeah, Nigel Farage isn't perfect. They're not in love with him. But they understand he's definitely better than the alternative, which will be another Brexit-style vote, which will be another poke in the eye from the electorate.
Absolutely. And I'm not convinced that the referendum we did, I think people voted a lot more than, I think the vote was a lot different to what we were actually shown. We caught our own returning officer slipping a little bundle of 1,000 leave votes onto the Remain table. And of course, when you catch them, honest mistake.
It's just a one-off as well.
I remember having a conversation with Craig Oliver, who was David Cameron's political advisor.
Right.
I complained some weeks before the referendum because they just seconded another 200 senior civil servants onto the Remain campaign.
Really?
Who are supposed to be impartial. And I took issue with him privately and said, look, this is just not fair. You're breaking all the election rules. You're using civil servants paid for by the state to run the campaign. And he said, be under no illusion, Andrew. Everyone who works for the government in any position across the country, they're all working for the Remain campaign.
And that's 100% correct. We found out afterwards.
Well, I mean, that means your returning officers and your counters at the counts.
And we found out afterwards that 95% of the civil service had voted Remain. 95%.
Well, I mean, letting some other country do, I mean, it's like politicians voting Remain, you know, abdicating responsibility for setting the laws of our own country. Well, I mean, you know, that's an easy life in a way. You just stamp in the laws from Brussels and we talk about the bits that are left and there are ever fewer bits left. But
well, it's all of the response.
If that's your answer, I mean, really, you should just resign.
Of course.
Because what you're saying is we think another country is better at running our country than we are.
But it's all of the benefits and none of the responsibility. They get the position, they get the chauffeurs, they get the money, they get the security.
And you can blame the EU.
Exactly. And then you just pass up the problems up the chain and say, what can we do about it? You know, and so this is the reason this is important as well, folks, is this is the underlying tension that has been present in Britain for as long as I can remember, really. A lack of proper accountability in the political class. And this, I don't want to say condescension because I don't think it's a strong enough word, but I don't want to say hatred because I don't want people to think I'm being too strong. But there's a disdain, an arm's length sort of like we literally just don't care about your opinion. We have calculated what we think right and wrong are, and you're on the wrong side of it. So we don't even need to discuss these things with you. And that's why I think people are coming out so strongly for Rupert Lowe because his attitude is the complete opposite. Rupert Lowe's trust is in the British public and not the systems, the structures of government, the institutions. And he makes this very clear every time he talks about them. He hates them.
Well, if you look at the way we vote, it's called polling day, isn't it? What's a poll? That's an opinion, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
It's not a decision. It's an opinion. Opinion of the people. You don't have to take people's opinions into account, do you? They're only polls. It's only an opinion. Yeah, we don't sign our signature on our ballot paper. We put the cross, the mark of an idiot, and we put it in a box, and anything on a legal document that's in a box is discounted. That's the way it works.
See, the benefit that we do have, though, is we still have the power of selection here. And this is one thing that a lot of people are very cynical about democracy, but at the end of the day, it must still have an influence, otherwise they wouldn't be so angry about Restore running in these constituencies where they thought they had it sewn up. So there must still be something to it. So as we saw in Great Yarmouth, actually there was a...
Well, they've got the narrative sorted for the next general election already. Just as Starmer, years before the 24 election, all the papers were saying it's going to be a Labour landslide, what, with 32% or 30% of the vote.
Oh, Nigel split...
On a 60% turnout.
Yeah.
And Nigel wants that next mantle that, you know, we've tried the Tories, they betrayed us, Labour did it in record time, now we're going to trust Uncle Nigel, and he's already in the club, and it's...
But I think the ground is shifting under his feet in a way that makes them very uncomfortable, very nervous. I mean, the past couple of days have just been a flat-out meltdown over the poll that came out in Great Yarmouth that showed them in second. So I can understand why they're bothered about this. Like, this is actually indication that, in fact, they're not going to win. And that means, well, what's the argument? Well,
if they're not part of the solution, they must be part of the problem, then, mustn't
they? Well, yeah. And they're not. Notice how they're not trying to proselytize, right? Notice how they're not trying to make a positive argument to the people that they think are splitting the vote. They're saying, no, you're bad people and hell will come if you don't just give us what we want. It's like, persuade me. Persuade me as to why. Persuade me as to why I should vote for you. And it's like, well, okay, we can't really do that because we're far to the left of what you're actually voting for. And also, the question of character, when it comes up, well, a lot of people think Nigel Farage is a man of bad character. Very few people think Rupert Lowe is a man of bad character. And so he's standing on the correct issue. He's got a record of actually doing what he says he's going to do. And he seems like a decent chap. What's the argument you could possibly make to me on those grounds?
That is true. I mean, I've known Nigel for many, many years.
Yeah.
And we've had our disagreements. I mean, you know, I told Nigel 3 years ago about the European Defence and Securities Union, both the Conservatives and Labour wanted to sign us up to, which, you know, giving them EU effectively full control of our defence policy, procurement, our Army, Navy, Air Force, GCHQ, MI6, MI5, and our nuclear deterrent, and our local police force. That's the European Defence and Securities Union, which Starmer signed us up to in August 24, as soon as he got in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I told Nigel about that years before, and he said, the EU's, we've left, Andrew. We don't talk about the EU anymore. That's done. And he said, the problem with you, Andrew, is he said, you're always looking for a fight. I said, no, that's not correct, Nigel, but if there's a fight got to be had, I don't run away from it. And that's why I'm in Restore Britain.
You think the politicians of this country, yes, you're looking for a fight. Yes, I am, because there's something to be won.
It's important.
Yeah, because it's important, because we've got to... Like, that's such a weird indictment. It's like, no, you're always looking for trouble. It's like, yes, I am. That's why I'm here.
Well, it's the only thing I get for free.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's the only thing I'm guaranteed out of life.
Guaranteed out of life for free is trouble.
Yeah. So anyway, so like we were saying, the enthusiasm in Great Yarmouth was off the charts, and it really paid dividends, right? Restore being on the ballot and offering a substantive and, you know, Britain First agenda was really, really popular with a credible MP who has a history of doing what he says he's going to do. Overwhelming win. This election in Makefield was triggered by the Labour Party for very cynical reasons. This is Andy Burnham's route back into Parliament to save the Labour Party from Keir Starmer's total apathy to their own polling, to their own position in the public imagination. Andy Burnham, for anyone who doesn't know, his entire career has been in the Labour Party.
He blocked Burnham before, didn't he?
He did.
The Labour NEC blocked Burnham before, but now...
But I think what happened is that it's clear that Labour's polling is so dire that even... And the NEC isn't a monolithic bloc. So I saw an interview with one lady who was on the NEC in the Times podcast, I think it was, where she was arguing, no, I'm part of the Burnham faction on the NEC, and we managed to persuade them to let us give Andy a crack at it because things are bad. And it's like, okay, fair enough. You know, which you know, even the most diehard Keir Starmer loyalist has to be looking at the situation on the ground for Labour and be like, can we go on like this? And
2 years into a government.
Yeah, 2 years in.
Not even 2 years in.
Well, yeah, but it was Southport that really did it. And you can see from Southport onward, their polling just went straight down. But the point is, they're doing this for entirely cynical reasons, which isn't exactly a great argument. Help us save the Labour Party. Well, we feel left behind in Makerfield. Why would we want to save your party? And actually, there are lots of other people around who are competing for our vote. So this whole thing is a kind of microcosm of what could be happening in the next general election, which is what everyone is making such a big deal out of it. There are really only three proper contenders, obviously. Labour under Burnham, Reform under Farage, and of course, Restore under Rupert. So... When you got there, what was the atmosphere like with the Restore camp?
It's amazing. I mean, I've been to a lot of by-elections during my political career, and I've never seen that number of motivated activists. And that was only the morning shift.
Yeah.
So I got there at 10 o'clock for the 10:30 start, and that's the morning shift until 2. Mm-hmm. And 2:30, the next lot of activists come in take over in the afternoon.
Amazing. So the was it similar to Great Yarmouth?
Yes.
Yeah? Excellent. And so...
And in a way, I mean, I imagine for more of the population, Maker feels easier to get to than Great Yarmouth.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, that was the reason I didn't go to
Great Yarmouth. Isn't really on the way to anywhere, is it?
No, it's...
Unless you're going to Great Yarmouth.
It's, yeah, exactly. It's literally the place you're going to. It's bloody out of the way and was a real pain to get to.
But when you live in the middle of the Midlands like I do, you can get everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I can even get to Swindon.
Oh, really? Well, that's good to know. So the great atmosphere, great energy. When you got out and were canvassing, what was the response like on the doorstep?
Okay, so it was positive. People have a negative perception that people won't like them knocking on their doors. Nobody whatsoever is hostile.
Really?
Yeah. Nobody is hostile. I think it so rarely happens nowadays that anyone knocks on your door and asks you for your vote. I mean, Nigel Farage isn't asking people for their vote. He's telling them they've got to vote for him. His activists weren't out there. We are a new party, a new organisation with new ideas and challenging the established parties. And some people hadn't heard of Rupert Lowe. They all took the leaflets. And as this campaign builds over the next 3 weeks, I mean, by now, every door in the constituency will have been knocked. Not everyone's in. Probably only one in four or five people are in on a Saturday afternoon. We are going to get round more and more and fill all those gaps in until we've got a pledge base. And you know, the mathematics and the mechanisms of politics are not difficult. You canvass for the election period, and then on the last day you refine down to all the people who were positive, so they were thinking or were going to vote for you, and you just remind those on polling day to get your vote out. That's it, and then you win. And as long as I've been involved in politics, which is over 20 years, that's how you win. It worked only, and it's still working, because it worked the other day in Great Yarmouth. The system works.
Sorry about the cough.
It's all right.
I'm down with it.
I've got one too.
Yeah, but you're right. It's actually not terribly complex, and it is a.
But it can't, because politicians do it, and they're not very bright, are they? I sussed that out when I was in business before I went into politics. We don't need any lessons from them, because they're not that bright. And if they can do it, we can do it better.
Just look at the Labour front bench. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So the methods are tried and tested, and Reform Restore have a massive activist base. I mean,
that's what you need. I mean, that is the impact that gets you round those doorsteps. A general election always suits the incumbent, because they will have the canvass returns. So Labour will have canvassed over the years Makerfield many, many times. They've got a computer base. I'm afraid, given the fall in popularity, their data's. A lot of the historic data is worthless, because, as we know, the support for their party, that's great for parties that are moving up.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's a great database and great comfort.
It's terrible. It's at a collapse.
Well, yeah, and now I think it's so bad that a lot of Labour activists won't want to go on the doorstep and hear the bad news. Although there are still diehard Labour voters. I found some when I was out canvassing. And then even they apologised to me and said, yeah, I wish you good luck, but I am Labour, despite everything. And they're almost apologising for the state of the country.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you.
I mean, say they are tribal Labour voters, but that tribe's being thinned out a bit.
Doesn't that just speak to a huge amount of demoralisation on the part of the ruling party and the status quo that Labour have engineered? Like, the system is failing, and even their own voters know it, and they're looking at Starmer. And I mean, Starmer is massively unpopular on the doorstep, we are told, over and over, and I believe it as well.
And also, the problem with the by-election, I mean, by-elections are traditionally much lower turnouts than general elections, and I always find that frustrating, because obviously you'll know that the election spending is much higher for a by-election than a general election in a particular constituency. I mean, I think you're looking at over £100,000 of campaign resources can be expended in that 6 weeks, and you've got all the parties who are serious about winning doing that. So, I mean, they get far more leaflets than you'd ever get during a general election, and then you get a lower turnout. The turnout with restore in the mix, I think is going to be fascinating. And I think it's not only can restore be very good for the country and it's needed, I think we could be very good for democracy as well.
Well, this has been Rupert's special ability, is to put something on the ballot that is...
To reach the parts that other parties cannot reach.
Yeah, to actually...
And that could be a marketing slogan, you know.
It could. But I think that's genuinely important, though, because this is the fear is that because 50% of them just didn't vote in the last general election, Rupert could summon up an actual legion of people who...
I think we're the only party can appeal to 100% of the available electorate.
Agreed. And I think they know that too.
Yes.
And I think that they're very afraid of that, which is one of the things. I mean, there are lots of videos coming out from just canvassers of all stripes. Like I saw a Labour Party canvasser the other day saying, well, I was going around and I bumped into a couple of reform guys, but there were a lot of restore guys. And I hope they split the vote. It's like, well, maybe they will, you know. But the point is, like the point is that they are seeing restore voters on the door where they're knocking, and this whoever they're knocking for says, oh no, I'm voting for restore, so don't worry. It's like, okay, well that's gotta be a real concern. And restore's own internal canvassing data shows that they've got 24% who are like, yeah, no, I'm definitely.
And what does it show to the political establishment that a party that's only been organised and legally formed 3 months ago could possibly be a contender at a by-election in a cast-iron Labour seat, which the incumbent MP has given up to allow another Labour grandee to get back into Parliament to challenge for Prime Minister?
Yeah. I mean, there's something... Tectonic plates are shifting under the political establishment.
Certainly, there's one thing for sure. They won't be able to ignore Restore Britain anymore.
Well, we are the dominant news cycle at the moment. I mean, Elon Musk is out there promoting us. Nigel Farage is attacking us.
Yeah, a few people have heard of Elon Musk.
A couple.
Even if they haven't heard of Rupert Lowe.
But you'll notice that what Restore has done here is kind of muscle into the conversation, where everyone now has to talk about Restore. Okay, you might complain that they're splitting the vote. But now we're the focus of conversation.
It'd be actually, if you think about it, it'd be a pretty boring by-election if Restore wasn't there. We're making all the political headway and all the headlines.
Exactly. And the energy is off the charts. Like, I saw the pictures of here's the Labour activists, here's the Reform activists, and then the zoomed out picture of all the Restore activists. It's like, right, okay, you can't ignore that kind of energy. You know, you can't ignore it. And that's why we're coming under such ferocious attack at the moment, actually, I think. I think there is a genuine fear that the message we're the lesser of all of the available evils is not brilliant for reform, actually. And the poll that they're promoting is we're losing to Andy Burnham. Please vote for us because we're not as bad as Andy Burnham. It's like, well, yeah, okay, Andy Burnham's not great, but is he worse than Keir Starmer? Why would I want to vote for essentially like leftovers? That's what I'm being asked. Do you want to have leftovers for dinner? Do you want to have a steak? It's like, no, I'm tired of voting for the lesser of...
Well, the reason that the turnout is normally less at a by-election is people know it's not going to change the government.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to change the government. It's not. Yeah.
Trivial.
And we will see whose voters are most enthused to come out, won't we?
We will. And I don't... Like, all of the signs, like, from people like yourself, and, like, we've got lots of activists who went to Great Yarmouth and are now in Makefield, messaging us all the time, saying, feels just like Great Yarmouth. Feels just like it. You know, the energy is high. Really great response from people on the street. I mean, it's a more difficult hill to climb, obviously. But if the energy is there, who knows?
Yeah, there aren't a lot of hills in Great Yarmouth on the coast.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. But if the energy is there, it's one of those things where you can feel them not wanting to admit that there is a significant chance that Restore not only throws spanner in the works, but actually win this. Because, like you were saying, they're basing this on old information. Oh, these people don't vote. These people vote Labour. These people...
I mean, it is almost unbelievable that you could have the prospect of possibly a party that was only formed 3 months ago winning a by-election.
Yeah. But this is a thing that I think they don't...
I think that's how desperate the country is and how desperate the people are.
Exactly. There's no resisting an idea whose time has come, Right, and that's the problem, and that's what they're doing. They're trying to hold back the tide, like King Canute. Like they, although that's a bit of a misattributed story, so I shouldn't use it. But the idea whose time has come is, no, we just need to vote for something that's not them. And Nigel Farage taking all of these failed Conservative politicians who were in government. I mean, like, someone could say, oh, you were a Conservative politician. I was like, yeah, and you got kicked out.
I don't think they can ever call me part of the political establishment, could they?
I mean, not at least from your record, no. But...
People they didn't want people turning the poorest constituency in Leicestershire into the richest in 12 years. Where's that going to get the country?
Well,
where's that going to get the rest of the politicians who didn't?
I suppose it depends what your interests are, isn't it? But the point is, you weren't brought in by Nigel Farage. In fact, you were warned about making the stir that you caused about these things by Nigel Farage, and I think you've been vindicated on these things. But look at who's taken instead: Nadeem Zahawi, Nadine Dorries, like Robert Jemrick, the immigration minister who oversaw the Boris wave, and the Afghans, Suella Braverman, the Home Secretary during the Boris wave. Like, why would you take these people in and then try to?
Because he's been told to.
And then, well, exactly. You can't portray yourself as some kind of renegade outsider party if you've got the former government in your ranks. It just doesn't work.
Who did most of the things that the electorate object to.
Yes, who actually caused the real substantive damage that we're living with right now. And Jemrick in particular, is such a strange thing, because he's had his road to Damascus conversion in the last year or so, but only in the beginning of 2025, he was still writing articles about how we need to accept the Afghans.
Not that he was called in the parliamentary party.
No, go on.
Robert Jemrick.
Well, that's nominative determinism wins again, because he is. I met him once and he seemed nice enough, but he was very boring.
Well, I remember going to his by-election to help him get in Newark.
Oh, yeah. And how did that go? Well, I mean, he won. So.
Well, it was a super safe Conservative seat.
How many activists did he have?
Not many compared to
Rupert.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting. So the angles of attack are quite desperate, I feel, at this point. And
they don't know how to attack us. As you say, it's having the Streisand effect, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, we're all thinking, you know, when they complain, methinks it doth protest too much. And it's just amplifying the message. It's going around social media. And when you've got an ally across the pond, like Elon Musk, I mean, those are big guns, aren't they?
And not only that, when you feel like it's very interesting how on the so the Servation poll that the Times published, for anyone who doesn't know, they had 369 likely voters, so they ignored the unlikely voters, because the actual poll was of something like 507 people or something like that. It's like, okay, but why are you ignoring the unlikely voters in this circumstance?
Exactly. Well, I think there's more chance. I think there may be some shy Restore voters out there, and I think. And of course, this is why I knew we were going to win the EU referendum and the polls were wrong. I was campaigning to get those people that hadn't voted for years to vote on an issue. And I think we're in the same mindset now for the public. Yeah, exactly the same tactics. You could be, I ring up as the pollster. First of all, YouGov poll, you've got to be on the YouGov panel. You've got to be engaged in politics. So all the non-voters, they're not engaged in politics and on the YouGov panel.
They're invisible.
And when comrades ring up and you say, yes, I'm voting for Restore in Makerfield, and they'll say, well, did you vote in the last generation? No. Did you vote in the one before? No. And that's it. They'll put you down as zero chance of voting.
Yes.
Zero waiting. Yes. And it's a matter of getting those people, as we did with the referendum, getting those people to the polls, and then you have a big shock on polling day.
And and this is exactly what happened in Great Yarmouth. And the thing is, if we didn't have such a recent and overwhelming example of, oh no, people who didn't vote for actually can vote if you give them a reason to vote. Like, you can put out a poll of 369 likely voters, but you're ignoring 140-odd unlikely voters who, given the reason,
have a right to vote and could vote.
Exactly. And exactly could come out and absolutely flood you. I mean, 300.
And if anyone has got a reason not to vote, it's probably your hardened Labour voters.
Well, given absolutely.
The performance of their government over the last 18 months.
I mean, I honestly, there's a part of me that genuinely feels bad for those old Labour voting families that have just been so thoroughly betrayed.
And most of them are actually socially conservative, you know.
Absolutely. They're just not wide-eyed Thatcherites, you know, who want to privatize the entire country and make sure that foreign businesses and governments can own our country, which is actually a very sensible position when you think about it. But anyway, I don't want to get into the economics of it. But the point being, that poll that Reform are staking everything on is not something I personally would stake everything on, because, I mean, A, it shows you in second place, which isn't great. You know, indicates you're going to lose. But it's a tiny sample, 369 people that you're actually measuring from, and you're ignoring about a third of that potential sample anyway, which is where our strongest constituency comes from. So all I'm saying is,
Next poll will be fascinating.
Yes.
And I think you're absolutely right. I think the polls will consistently underestimate Restore support.
Yep.
And that's not always a bad thing.
No, it's going to be... I'm weirdly optimistic about this, and I'm very rarely optimistic about these things. But in my defense, I'm often wrong.
You've been taking the hopium, have you?
No, that's the... Right, so I didn't think that Trump was going to win in 2024. It's not that I didn't feel the direction of the energy. It's just I was like, no. It's probably going to be that something happens or whatever. And we won. I didn't think that Great Yarmouth was going to be such an overwhelming victory. It's not that I didn't feel the energy. I was just like, okay, manage your expectations here, you know? And I'm feeling the same draw of energy in the same direction for Makerfield. And my rational mind is saying, no, manage your expectations. But I've been wrong before managing my expectations.
Well, it's nice to be pleasantly surprised.
It is.
That's really nice.
I was the same on Brexit. I didn't think we were going to win Brexit. I was managing my expectations and I was wrong. And so it's nice to be wrong in a positive direction every single time. But I just can't bring myself to get the hopes up of it, because just in case we don't. But I can't help but feel there's every reason to think that we've got a real fighting chance here. I can't help but feel it. I mean, there's no way you can see so many...
And Restore has absolutely nothing to lose out of this.
Exactly.
It's the first parliamentary by-election that the party's ever taken part in.
And it's completely normal for parties to lose by-elections. Most parties lose by-elections. It's totally normal.
Well, I mean, most governments lose by-elections.
Absolutely.
So if this is a ultra, ultra, ultra safe Labour seat, it's deeply worrying, isn't it?
And as you were saying, for a party that's 3 months old to be the current centre of the national media discussion about are they going to be a significant player in just a random by-election? I mean, that's pretty unheard of. And that shows how much ground has been gained so quickly for Restore. They didn't talk about Advance during the Gorton and Denton by-election. And it's not that I don't like the Advance guys. I'm friends with a lot of them. And that I know
Nick Buckley was a good guy.
Great guy. You know, he got 50,000 votes in the mayoral election, in the last one that Andy Burnham won. And that's not nothing at all. It's just, I think there's always a sort of like... you know, a time and a place and a confluence of energies that means you're the right guy for the right time. And I just think that Nick was the right guy at the wrong time for Gorton and Denton. And it was a real shame. But the winds feel like they're very much in our sails. And the fact that we're here after such a short period of time dominating the conversation, have you seen anything like this before?
Never seen anything like it. But then we've never been in such dire straits as the country finds itself now. Mm. You know, it is very much the last chance saloon of politics at 5 minutes to closing time.
I mean,
and it's decide what we're doing.
Yeah,
it's beholden, I think, on all of us to create the peaceful revolution we're going to need. Because the alternative is going to be awful.
Yeah. And one thing I've noticed about Restore members is that a lot of them are normal people, right, who are just not political. They're not people who... Like, Andy Burnham is a professional politician. He knows the game inside and out, and he has been his entire adult life. I speak to lots and lots of Restore members, and many of them are just mothers and fathers, small business owners, or people who are working in whatever private field, which is like, no, I just have to get involved now. I didn't want to. I've never wanted to be involved in the politics, but there's a kind of quiet resolution that is being set.
Did you notice that the other Saturday at the Unite the Kingdom rally, I didn't see one reform flag in the crowd.
I didn't think about it, actually. Weirdly,
You'll have a look back on the picture.
Yeah, I didn't
think. There are restore flags.
There are. I mean, when I was on the stage and I said, look, we're coming, a huge cheer. Like, you could feel the energy, and the mandate of heaven was very much with Rupert. I mean, when Tommy was saying, you know, I'm not going to tell you which party to vote for, and he lists all the parties and people start cheering, Rupert.
Well, in my little address after Tommy, straight after Tommy, I said, you know, I think that Rupert Lowe's currently the only man who could lead that peaceful revolution.
But this is,
and it's coming.
I think so, because this is what I've noticed, is it's not wild-eyed radicals, right, who are joining Restore. It's people who have seen the state of travel, the direction of travel, the state of play, the direction of travel, and have just kind of quietly but firmly set themselves against it. They're saying, no, whatever you're asking me to do, I'm not doing that. I'm just going to start traveling in the right direction that I think is the right thing for the future. And Rupert Lowe is the person embodying that. And I can feel, the sort of the patient resistance in Restore. I can feel it. Like, we've been through this. Like, all of these, you know, very few people are, you know, I mean, there are some young people, obviously, but a lot of them are people who have got some experience in life and who have been round the block a few times.
we've all been led up the garden path a few times as well, haven't we?
Exactly. And we're not voting for the second best option anymore.
No.
We're just not doing it. And this
or the least worst option.
Yeah, exactly. The least worst option. We're not voting for that anymore. We're voting for the thing that we think actually is going to get the job done. And it's already got a track record of victory. Like, this is.
And you've also got Rupert's going to be going public with his rape gang inquiry report.
Oh, yes.
I can't imagine that the political establishment, whether it's the Reds or the Blues or anybody else, is going to come out very well out of any of this.
No. I mean, there's a reason that they've done everything they can to suppress it. And this is why, I mean, a lot of reform people will say, well, why should I vote for Restore over Reform? Since Nigel Farage ends up catching up to your positions anyway, because you drag him to the right. And it's like, well, that's a great question.
That's not leadership, is it?
Exactly, right.
I mean, Nigel doesn't make the political wind. He's never made the political wind. He sees which winds the wind's blowing, and then he'll join it when it's safe to do so.
I've said this for years now. He leads from the back. He leads from the rear. He watches other people carving out space and says, right, I'm going to go and occupy that for you because I've got a large media presence. It's like, sorry, Nigel, I don't want someone who's constantly behind the crest of the wave. Actually, as you said, it's not leadership. I actually want a person who's carving out the space to be the guy in charge and actually doing it. And this was, the rape gang inquiry is such a great example. I'm glad you brought it up, because Nigel Farage stood up in Parliament and said, I will conduct that rape gang inquiry myself. It didn't happen.
Well, there's no difference between him and the Labour Party then, is there?
No. No, there's not. It's exactly what the Labour Party did. And of course, no one even talks about the Conservative Party on this issue at all, even though they had 14 years in government to do whatever they wanted about it. They could have done anything. They did nothing because they're the Conservative Party. And so who actually did it? Well, Rupert Lowe crowdfunded it, got £660,000, actually did the inquiry. And like you said, the report's going to be released. And it's, I mean, Rupert described it as the worst two weeks of his life.
The government inquiry would take, you know, they already said 5 years.
Oh, yeah. But you know they're just kicking that can down the road.
Well, I mean, I have no faith in public inquiries. You know, despite being the MP who uncovered the Post Office Horizon scandal, you know, in the end, they never called me to give my evidence at the public inquiry with Wynne Williams. Yeah. I filled the forms in on day one. I was the one that got Boris Johnson to agree to have the public inquiry. I introduced him to my constituents, Michael and Susan Rudkin. He had a Zoom call with them, and 5 days later, his office rang me and said, yes, I'm going to authorise the public inquiry.
Yeah. And look where that went.
And I didn't even get to give evidence because they didn't want my evidence.
Yeah. But this is the difference, isn't it? The people who say they'll do something and either not do it properly or not do it at all versus the person who says he'll do it and actually...
Oh, words are cheap, aren't they? Words are cheap, yeah. Especially from politicians. I mean, I can remember a very wise old man. He'll be long dead now in northwest Leicestershire, probably about 2006 when I was first canvassing before the 2010 election. And I met him, and he was well in his 80s then. And he said, you have to remember, lad, he said, that a politician's promises, he says, they're like pie crusts, they're soon broken. Well, we've had enough of that, haven't we?
Yeah. But he's not wrong. He's not.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is.
I mean, he was a wise man, wasn't he? He'd seen a few, hadn't he?
There's a reason this is the received wisdom of the general public and why half of them have checked out of politics.
Yes.
And this is why I think that Rupert Lowe cuts such a dramatic figure on the world, on the political stage at the moment. He actually does the things he's
We need to appeal now to the dispossessed and the disillusioned and to bring them back, because now is the time in our nation's need, our hour of need, is for every man and woman to come to the aid of the party.
And so what final parting thoughts would you have about this entire situation? Anything that we haven't covered so far that you'd like to say?
Well, I mean, the Labour MP Simmons, who gave his seat up after 2 years, and bear in mind, you know, I've always felt as well that there is a negative. The public don't like unnecessary elections.
Yeah.
That most of the public think about elections for a very limited amount of time, possibly only just before a general election. Now, there's always been an electoral backlash against the party that forces an unnecessary election on the public, and that's the Labour Party. They've done it purely for selfish reasons, thinking that they own those votes, and that could be a big problem for them.
Excellent. Andrew, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.